opening. Christmas Eve 2014, the wise men travel to Farm and Fleet. Well, okay then. What do you know?
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, Chicago Tribune film critic Michael Phillips will take the stage, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who celebrates Hanukkah Mishmashazah, it's Michael Feldman.
You want to do that over again? We can start the whole thing over again.
Hanukkah Mishmashazah.
Hanukkah Mishmashazah.
Like that. Hanukkah Mishmashazah. There you go.
Huh? Sarah Nix, ladies and gentlemen, already in the holiday spirit. Okay. We got it. This is our annual holiday, okay, Christmas office party. I said it, and I'm glad. We got a good crowd here. But it's not just Christmas. It's Festivus and Kwanzaa. And what's the other one? Hanukkah. That's right. You know, the only problem with Hanukkah is we cannot agree on how to spell it. I like the chuh myself because it separates people. You know, people who don't celebrate it cannot actually say Hanukkah. Try and say Hanukkah once. See? No, you know, nothing like it. You're celebrating something else there. You're celebrating Hanukkah. That, there's no such holiday. It's Hanukkah. So Molotov. The governor tried to say Hanukkah. I like to hear that. Come on, when that comes up. You'd have to have some chutzpah to say Hanukkah is what I'm thinking. Okay, in all the holiday news that isn't, a Bitcoin was dropped in the Salvation Army kettle at Macy's. Still can't find it. May not exist. Could be an imaginary currency. What can you do? But it's the thought that counts. As to the current price of the 12 days of Christmas, if you have to ask, you can't afford it. Okay, $27,631.21 if you're going to do all 12 days. See, I told you you couldn't afford it. Price of swans, the most volatile items, have stabilized. They are pricey at $7,000. Is that for seven swans? Huh? Yeah. $1,000 a swan? I don't know. I'll think about it. Partridge are up $5 to $20. And just one of those, so that's a good deal. In fact, I would do the partridges instead of the swans. Okay, fine. I'll just go on with this then. The cost of 8 days of Hanukkah. Gone are the days when I could give little Ellie and Nora the same gift for 8 days. It was real time and money saver. And they were excited to get it each time. It was just a lousy dreidel, you know. So it varies quite a bit, I'm saying. Fortunately, also gone are the days when I carefully thought out and bought that which they absolutely hated. And they finally forbid me to gift them anything but cash. That was a turning point. That lasted, I'd say, about age eight. Eight and six, little ones. Now, of course, for my 20-somethings, less sentimental gifts, a down payment, co-sign a loan, little for the old debit card, parking tickets. You know, it's, you got to play it by ear. No. A little sad. Need to put the ha back in Hanukkah. Or better yet, the ha. Oh, let's see. Starting a new tradition, President Obama will pardon the Christmas ham. The hottest Christmas toy this season for boys, anything Minecraft. And for girls, anything they say it is. Those of you spending Christmas in Japan, remember Christmas cake means sponge cake in Japan. But also, Christmas cake may mean an unmarried woman over 25, so be careful how you use it. It's true. Denmark claims sovereignty over the North Pole, but assures children everywhere Santa Claus will be grandfathered in, so don't worry about it, kids. The Danes are good people. I'll watch out for them. The Dugar. Dugar, isn't it? The Dugars? Family? Duggars? The Duggars? Okay, Dugar sounds better. They should consider that. Duggar. Okay, okay. The Duggar family Christmas cards, well, at 14 by 48 foot billboards, really, have been sent out, but they've gotten so pricey, the list has been cut way down for the Duggars. Expensive. Your neighbor's Christmas lights are visible from space. The upside is any alien invasion goes next door. This year's hot holiday clothing means the ugly Hanukkah sweater. This is even uglier than any Christmas sweater you've ever seen, the Hanukkah sweater, featuring a menorah that runs from wrist to wrist when you hold your arms out. And you could even stick candles in your arms if you want to go all the way with it. Boy, is it ugly. Gloria and George Buddy Witherow of Smyrna, Tennessee, have 50 themed Christmas trees in their ranch house. We believe this is the record, 50 trees in their house. It's not a big house, even. And they're all themed. They have the Bob Hope Tree of Gulf, a Noah's Ark tree with two of every kind of ornament, and the deck the boughs with Elvis jumpsuits tree, my personal favorite. That's a nice tree. In other news, psychologists say that people with blow-up Christmas lawn ornaments are an entirely different type. They wouldn't say what type they were. I think that's still debatable. Star in the east this Yuletide means gas has dropped below $2 a gallon. Governor Scott Walker makes up for his Molotov gaffe by lighting the giant Megillah in the Wisconsin state capitol. The whole Megillah. Thank you very much for coming. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. And a fine Festivus to you all. It looks like a good season this year. It's not snowing. Are we supposed to get snow? Usually we're digging out by this point. Yeah, okay. I thought there was some snow in the forecast. You don't seem to know what's going on. Don't you watch the paper? Are you just out shopping so much that you can't watch the weather? Especially some of you older gentlemen here. Don't you watch the Weather Channel 24/7? Huh? Don't they have a winter storm named after you, sir? Because you're always watching. I like they're branching out on the Weather Channel. Now they have weather films, you know, and weather history. History of great weather, or bad weather, right? Mostly bad weather. Michael Phillips is joining us. He is a film critic for the Chicago Tribune, and he knows all about the upcoming Christmas films, and I'm sure there's a lot of them. Let's talk to him right now. Michael Phillips, ladies and gentlemen, joining us right here on our stage. Michael Phillips. How do you do?
Good.
You do a big Christmas thing, Michael?
Do I do? We got a tree, you know.
A tree is a big Christmas thing.
I try to keep it alive, water it occasionally, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's the kids. That's the
kids. You water your kids. That's a nice thing. How many do you have, by the way?
Three.
Oh, you do, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's that I met here?
Oh, my son, 14-year-old John, is in the back here.
Your son, 14-year-old
yes.
John. Yes.
And he's got a wool-rich coat that has already been coveted by Sarah.
Yeah, there. Sarah covets all kinds of strange things. And so, okay. Now, the interview with Michael Phillips. So anyhow, how are you? You know what? I was going to look. I noticed your top 10 movies came out for the year. So I went online, and I couldn't get it because I'm not a subscriber to the Chicago Tribune. So I have no idea what you liked.
Yeah, the writers love that. They love the fact that nobody can read them online. They love that.
Yeah.
By the way, the interview, the James Franco, Seth Rogen film, I brought a copy. So look, can we show that now?
Yeah, how do we show it? You have to look at it, you have to pull it out of the canister and look at it frame by frame. Oh, that's not even funny, so what's the big deal?
You know, what would be funny is that it'd be funny to find out that it's actually shown everywhere in North Korea and it's a huge hit.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a big underground hit in North Korea. North Koreans now said they didn't do it and they'd be happy to help us find whoever did.
Oh, great.
Did you see that?
Is that the latest?
Yeah, that's the latest.
My God, this story changes every 10 minutes.
You know, the story about it is much funnier than the movie could ever be. They should have made this movie about guys who make a movie about killing a foreign thing. And then
I would like to find out sometime personally to see. But it has been a weird, frustrating week for everybody.
Well, it's a terrible idea not to tank it. for that reason. That's a bad precedent.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But then to have the president sort of be the one to, you know, say, yeah, it was a mistake, and then Sony's. Yeah. I mean, it's just the crazy kind of crazy week in American movie making.
Yeah, very. It's insane, actually. Phil Rosenthal did that thing, which you cited on Twitter.
Yeah, right? Yeah. My colleague wrote a wonderful piece that sort of reminded people that in a very different situation,
yeah.
William Randolph Hearst, when he didn't like Citizen Kane, which was a thinly veiled negative portrait of Hearst,
yeah.
basically tried to buy the print back from RKO and destroy the negative. And RKO probably, you know, had 10 minutes of temptation. When the check was just floating before their eyes, you know, but luckily, I'm not saying the interview was on a par with Citizen Kane.
Yeah, you know why he was so mad? He actually did have a rosebud sled.
Did he have a sled?
And the embarrassment of that—the last word you would ever say would probably be about his sled. You know, the difference, of course, is that the interview is no Citizen Kane. You know, there's that.
We'll find out,
right?
Someday. No, I didn't.
You never saw it?
No, the press screenings of the interview were held sort of on schedule in L.A. and New York, but the couple days before the Chicago one, all this happened. Yeah. So they pulled that, and so we'll see. Someday, maybe.
Well, I want to get to your list because I'm sure it's the right one.
Thank
the guy,
you.
You know, the guy for the New York Times came out with A.O. Scott or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, I hated every film that he mentioned.
Really?
Every reference he made about.
Well, now
the
I don't
film.
Want to stay because if you hate.
I, you know, and he's on the New York Times, so he's got his own, you know, this and that to think about. But I don't know. But I have my own nomination for Best Picture, Best Actor.
Let's hear it.
St. Vincent, Bill Murray.
Bill Murray. Okay. Yeah. Good. I like that.
And here's why. Do we have that little clip? Can we run that little clip from?
So this Irish guy knocks on his lady's door and says, you know, you got any work for me? And she says, well, you know, as a matter of fact, you could paint the porch. But 2 hours later, the guy comes back and says, I'm already finished, ma'am. But just for your information, it's not a porch. It's a BMW.
Let's get the last sigh for Bill Murray. Who's going to beat that performance? Not a Porsche, it's a BMW. I love that.
I love Bill Murray. I mean, yeah. I just think he should be our national person. You know,
he should. He gets better and better, I think. There's got to be a point where he's not going to get any better, but in all those Wes Anderson films and all this stuff. But he's in all these... That film about the guy who wanted the old guy who wanted to die and have his own funeral, and he was the
Get Low with Robert Duvall.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Which, most people didn't. That was undervalued. He's very good in that.
Oh, he's wonderful. He's one in everything he does.
Yeah.
As Roosevelt, as FDR.
Yeah, it was less.
Yeah, less good.
Less good.
But it's still Bill Murray. I don't care. It was good. So, what do you like this year?
All right, the two I like the best. Yeah. Well, we can talk about that. I think a couple of Texas filmmakers. One, Richard Linklater, my favorite.
Hated
year. You hated Boyhood?
Oh, I hated it.
What?
I hated having a Boyhood. Number one. And I stole this on the Pirate Bay before it went down. You know, so the problem is, I like to see all the films that I think you're going to talk about.
So you rip them off on Pirate Bay?
Rip off is in this day and age.
Okay.
They shut them down.
No, you're not. So seriously, you're not alone. A lot of people find Boyhood now that it's been sort of unfortunately, you know, fortunately, I think it's fighting its own hype at this point. And people are going and expecting the moon and the stars and this film, which took 12 years to make. And the director.
It took 12 years to watch because I'll never get through though.
Look, I just saw The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies. Don't tell me about Endless, okay?
Don't get mad at me. I didn't make this film.
I mean, I started watching The Hobbit Thursday morning. I just left in the middle of it to come up here.
That's another thing. But I mean, boy, all right, so what's right. so great about it?
So the Boyhood, a lot of people think it is just the novelty or the stunt of the way it was made.
Exactly.
I don't agree.
Oh,
but,
I thought you're agreeing with that.
I found that it wasn't like any film I'd ever seen, really, where you're just an hour into the picture. If you get absorbed into the story of this boy's life and his family, an hour in, you've started with him on screen at age, I think, 7. And
he should have started seeing like fetal.
Fetal.
Fetal. The scan.
Yeah, that was called Look Who's Talking.
I
think that was Look Who's Talking. But an hour into the picture, he's, you know, now you have the 14 or 15-year-old actor doing these scenes. And you're already, just as you do in life, you think, what did they look like when they were younger? And I don't know. I had a great... Did anybody like Boyhood here?
Anybody not like Boyhood here? So I thought,
All right, what did you think of my number two, the Grand Budapest Hotel?
I loved it.
All right, good.
You got to love the Grand Budapest Hotel.
You did. You liked it.
Especially because I read it was based on, that hotel was based on the Ten Chimneys.
Oh, I didn't, no.
I got it right here. You know, Duane Dudek in the Journal Sentinel. He's
honestly
talking about all these films with Milwaukee connections, right? You know Duane?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which one are we talking about here? Grand Budapest Hotel. He did a thing of all, excuse me. Milwaukee connections. The Grand Budapest Hotel, archly comic tale set against old will, confectionery artifice, local reference director Wes Anderson and co-screenwriter Roman Coppola, visited Ten Chimneys, the former estate of Alfred Lynn Fontanne in Genesee Depot after a screening in Chicago. Well, after a screening.
Okay.
But Anderson has cited the architecture at Ten Chimneys as an inspiration.
Oh, okay, interesting. Okay.
Also, the film co-stars Appleton native William Dafoe. But that's, you know.
Right.
Not his film.
No, I love that film, and that's I had the experience. I liked that film a great deal when it came out earlier in the year, and by the end of the year, but liked others maybe better. But by the end of the year, that was the one that was kind of nagging at me. Like I really want to see that one again, not just for the way it's made, which is, you know, it's visually pretty meticulous and ravishing, but I really just wanted to see it play out again, because it's a very cleverly structured sort of Russian nesting doll of a movie, right? You know, one story inside another. And that film, Michael, which didn't feel like a top 10 to me when I first saw it, that turned out to be one of my very favorites of the year. So if I saw them all twice, would I change my mind? I don't know. I mean, but it was nice to see it a second time.
20 years a man and it runs off with it.
Yeah. But those are two of my favorites.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. However, Wes, you know, the problem with Wes Anderson is his films are too beautiful.
They're
too sumptuous. They're almost distracting from what's happening. But I know it's part of the humor or something, that these overly, he's like an overrealist.
Yeah. No, it's not.
It's a surrealist.
You're not dealing with realism at all with this. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, they're so sumptuous and so, like, all the films are like that.
Yeah. And in this one, I think I don't love all the Wes Anderson films, but this one I found just Ralph Fiennes brought it up to a level of where even the jokes that weren't funny were funny.
Yeah, he
and
was great.
You don't think of Ralph Fiennes as sort of this high style comic actor, and he is in this.
And the Lobby Boy was very good.
Yeah, good. I thought everybody was good.
Yeah, who was the Lobby Boy? You know,
I forget his name.
Okay,
But yeah.
Okay, so we agree on that one. Okay.
Okay, good.
What's next?
So I'm one ahead of the New York Times right now.
Yes, you are.
Okay, good. Good.
He didn't like Grand Budapest Hotel or something like that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of films on the list I don't want to bore people with because, you know, you haven't seen them and they're foreign. But but you should seek out, among others, a really great black comedy called Force Majeure about this Swedish family, a sort of picture-perfect family on vacation in the French Alps. And they're having lunch one day on the terrace and there's a controlled avalanche going off, as they do. And the controlled avalanche runs out of control, and it looks for a second that they're all going to die. And the father of this family reacts so poorly in this situation that it changes their lives forever. Nobody dies, but it's basically about craven male cowardice and how you recover from it. So,
but it's fiction, so you know, I don't have a problem.
But that's a film that, I mean, you have to seek it out. I'm sure it's played Madison or will, but...
Better than Tsunami, that Tsunami one where they go on vacation in the paradise. And...
Yeah, well, that wasn't funny.
I don't know.
But,
hilarious.
Yeah, that's a film that, you know, I love Whiplash, too. Who saw Whiplash here? Anybody see Whiplash? Okay.
No. Do you have any films on there that people have seen or that they might go to? I know you're a critic and stuff.
I may have to default to my 11 through 12 for the ones people actually saw.
Yeah, yeah.
Did anybody, for example, the Lego movie. Frank, the Lego movie.
Lego
all right?
movie is great. Yeah. And last time I talked to you, you were going to a screening of it. Remember, you had to rearrange that because you were going to a screening.
Right.
And you said, hey, it's a great movie. And I said, but it was great. It was great.
It's great. I've never liked product placement so much
in
the movie.
Yeah, best product placement. Definitely. I want to say that Frank, for example, I'll just throw one in here. I really liked Frank.
Frank with Michael Fassbender.
Oh, he was great.
That's why I love. Yeah, that made the runner-up list for me. That's another film that it's got about the audience size of Force Majeure at this point. But
yeah.
If you see,
but it's about a musician who has really severe psychological problems, but he happens to be a genius, musical genius. But he can only perform wearing this giant paper mache, whatever it is, head, and he's never without it. And it's an absolutely great movie.
It's hilariously frustrating too to have Michael Fassbender, who's not the most unsightly guy in the movies, wear a paper mache head the whole film, almost the entire film. But yet you get this very funny performance inside this paper mache.
It's funny, but it's very moving too. I mean, it's very and parts of it are very dark and stuff. But that's what I like in a film, something that's funny, and then you laugh, and then suddenly you're
this
crying.
Is Force Majeure. See this film. Yeah. See this film.
You know whether to laugh or cry, my mother used to say.
Yeah. Or I think you're going to feel personally indicted by the.
You don't know how to dress for the weather. You don't know how to dress for the weather, like my mother used to say.
I mean, there's films coming out that I've seen in the last few weeks that won't be released for another week or two. But the film Selma is very good, very good. Which is a really sharp, narrow focus. On the Selma March and Martin Luther King's life. So it's not a King biography in that standard, maybe predictable way of trying to cover the entire life of a man. Mm-hmm. But that's really, really good recent history made vivid.
What did you think about the Stephen Hawking?
Good. I thought it was good. Not the theory of everything. I think the two performances are really good. I think that and The Imitation Game. I don't know if anyone's seen that yet with Benedict Cumberbatch. These are two good. I think.
Who is Benedict Cumberbatch and why is he everywhere?
Why?
Yeah. It's a name you remember.
Yeah, yeah. Who watches Sherlock on television?
Oh, he's Sherlock.
He is having his moment for sure, and. He's going to make it tough for all the other actors named Benedict Cumberbatch out there because he's the best of the bunch.
He was in that depressing Southern one with all the women movie.
August Osage County.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was in that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that one. That's a funny case, though, because I play. Yeah. Did anybody see August Osage County on stage? It was done at the Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago. Fantastic 3.5-hour juicy play, three acts, rollicking, and this film comes out and it's a turd. And it's
Can you say that?
And what hurts?
We'll cut that out. That's all right.
Okay. What hurts is all these folks now say, well, I didn't like the film. I never need to see that stupid play. And you just think, no, it was a wonderful play.
Wonderful play.
Yeah. Anyway, so be it.
It was unrelenting in its depressiveness. That's not a word.
Right. But you like that. You like that plus the laughs. So that's Frank.
It had some laughs in there. A few laughs in there.
Yeah.
Not enough.
Yeah.
Okay. What you got next for us?
Sorry. I mean, you're still
in your top 10?
Top 10? Yeah. But I'm skipping around. Okay. I'm skipping around. I mean, there's
whatever you want.
You want depressing and funny? You want depressing and funny? Yeah. There's a comedy called Listen Up, Philip with Jason Schwartzman about the world's most narcissistic, egocentric writer. Who alienates everybody in his life, and yet somehow this film is a delight. It's harsh. It's not a film that asks you to understand or even like the protagonist. But
this could be it for Schwartzman then.
Who knows?
I mean, I've been waiting for a film for him. I sort of like him. I like that HBO that TV show that he did. It was pretty funny. The detective one.
Right, with Ted Danson. Yeah,
yeah, with Ted Danson was great, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I always think, well, in the right film, he's really going to knock my socks off, you know, Jason Schwartz.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good. He, you know, some actors, I think, Schwartzman would be one of them. He's not, you wouldn't call it a wide range. You know, he's got a certain.
You'd call it a narrow range.
He's got a narrow range. He's not.
And he was in that Wes Anderson one.
Right. But he's found ways to really play all kinds of roles within his level of talent, which is considerable. He's not a chameleon like a guy like Benedict Cumberbatch, who can do a Southern slave owner in one film and do Alan Turing the code breaker in another. Yeah. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would the last one I'm going to mention at least for now, because it's just opening, is a film called Mr. Turner, Mike Leigh's film, about the English painter J.M.W. Turner. Wonderful performance by Timothy Spall, and that's another one that there's been a lot of movies this year about. Driven artists and artistic egos and obsessions, you know, that whiplash you could throw in there.
I love those. They're such fun.
Birdman you can throw in there, I suppose. A film I like but didn't love. But Mr. Turner is one of my favorites this year. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Are you Jewish?
No.
Okay. I like. No. I didn't love. Yeah. I didn't think so.
No, but I appreciate the compliment.
Interstellar.
I liked it.
Oh, it's terrible. I had a bad ripped off copy, granted.
You are the worst pirate out here.
I am not. I just look at what other people have ripped off and to judge if it was worth doing or not. And it was, you know, one of those camcorder ripoffs. And guys stand up in the middle of the screen, you know, in front of the guy's camera.
I feel that even listening to these stories of crime, I'm going to be arrested.
Wormhole. What? There's a what? Worm? There's a worm.
Well, that may have had some...
Terrible. Terrible movie, though.
That may have had some impact on your experience of the film, okay, if you saw it.
It was not even as good as the Disney that it stole from, the Black Hole.
Disney
made a film, Maximilian Schell.
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
And it was called Black Hole, and it was the same thing. They had the robots and everything. Honest to God, it's a total ripoff. Look at it.
Wow.
Look at.
It's been a long time since I've seen the Black Hole.
Yeah.
I mean, that's back in the 70s, I think, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hey, let's get to the worst.
What?
Speaking of black holes.
What? Oh, I'll just say Interstellar cried out for Sandra Bullock in that movie. That's the only thing that could have saved it, if it was Sandra Bullock going through a wormhole. That would have been amusing.
I remember the last time we talked about Gravity, and you basically turned into a discussion of your problems with Sandra Bullock, right?
Yeah. I don't have any problems with her so much.
Okay. But can we get to the worst of list here?
I just want to
point out that, it didn't even quite correct the top or bottom 10, but if you're going to see a musical based on a Broadway show this season, you try Into the Woods, which is pretty good, and avoid Annie, which really makes a series of mistakes, which are just depressing.
Do you think he was really Kim Jong-un was trying to stop Annie and not the interview? Because he wanted the Daddy Warbucks role?
It would be great to actually have the North Korean leader watch both those films and then force him
and then
to decide
judge.
which of the two
now
am I going to shut down? Yeah. Which one has worse songs, you know? But my favorite bad film of 2014, and that's a special category because it has to give you some merriment. It has to give you some fun, not just sort of
so bad it's good.
Yeah, Left Behind with Nicolas Cage.
With Nicolas Cage.
A series of books about the rapture, and Nicolas Cage plays an airline pilot who loses half his passengers mid-flight because they've been raptured. There's a mid-air collision.
It has Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas
That's
Cage.
A wonderful concept.
And Nicolas Cage playing, basically playing kind of a stalwart Robert Stack type of, you know, and yet Nicolas Cage is the least reliable and sober seeming airline pilot I've seen in the movie since Dean Martin in Airport.
Bravo, bravissimo, Nicolas. And he's related to Coppola, isn't he? Somehow along the line, he's like his nephew.
Nephew, yeah. But and Nicolas Cage in the right film is wonderful.
Yeah. What?
Charlie. Charlie Kaufman's adaptation. He's really good in that.
That was okay. That was weird.
I think he's really funny in Honeymoon in Vegas.
He was pretty good in that one where he was an arms dealer, world arms dealer.
Right. Lords of War, I think?
Something like that,
yeah.
That was actually a pretty good movie,
yeah.
Despite him being in it. Did you ever see him when they used to send him up on Saturday Night Live, the imitations they would do? That was one of my favorite things on the show.
Yes. I just wouldn't cast him as a straight arrow airline pilot. I just wouldn't. If I walked onto a plane and there's Nicolas Cage, I would consider Amtrak. Yeah. I think.
Michael, I think that about covers a lot of ground there. I want to thank you for coming up and joining us. Great to have you here. Kenosha native, and he's rare because he's both a Kenosha native and a Racine native. That's almost never happened in nature before. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Michael.
Michael Phelps from the Chicago Tribune. There you go. All the films you need to know. The good, the bad, the ugly. The Nicolas Cage. Oh, boy. Enjoyed that. Yeah, I know it's wrong to do that. But now I can't do it because Pirate Bay is down. They arrested the last of them in Thailand or somewhere. You know, Pirate Bay, it's where they, it's a sharing site, you know. And something in me is democratic enough to believe that everything that's for sale should be given to me. Because of the pursuit of happiness clause in the whole thing, there, right at the top. For even the guns and everything. For guns and speech, there is things. Pursuit of things and having them for free, pretty much. John, I'm sure you agree with me on this.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
There with you.
Yeah. Did you see any of those films, John?
No.
Have you seen a film? What's the last film you saw?
I've been a little lacking in my film watching.
Birth of a Nation?
That was good. That's good.
That was good.
Slightly dated, but yeah. No, it's good.
Yeah. Come on, what's the last film we actually went to?
Think about it.
Let it come.
Okay, no, I went to... See, I went
Wait
to
for the, it.
To the Rosemont... let's see. What
Rosemont, what was playing there?
And playing there was, I think it was a Scarlett Johansson. Lucy.
Oh, you went to see Scarlett.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. Lucy, was that good?
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
It was like a lot of those movies. It started out really good. It was interesting premise and everything.
You know, she
the
can't.
The ending was really weird. So
she can't act, but who cares?
Well, yeah. It's,
you know, that's the way I look at her. Okay.
It was either that or Before the Planet of the Apes or something. So
those are always good, entertaining. Okay, so a little, and Jeff, what's the last film you saw?
Birdman.
You saw Birdman?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yes.
Yeah, liked Birdman. And what's that about again?
Well, an actor.
An actor.
That was a big deal in the early 90s.
Big deal in the 90s, early 90s.
Trying to do something on Broadway, modern day.
Is that the Michael Keaton one?
Yes.
Yeah, I love Michael Keaton.
Yeah, go see him.
For a while, I didn't like him so much, but after he got through the Batman thing, I started liking him a lot again. I think it's really fun. Oh, okay, good. Birdman. Recommendation. And this tune.
This tune. Oh, I should have researched this a little bit more. I really like this tune, and previously I just thought it was like a standard, maybe from Broadway or something, and I didn't know much about it, but then we just played a Christmas gig a couple weeks ago, and our boss said, it's a Christmas tune. So, I don't know. Well, then, it's a Christmas tune, I guess.
Well, like, what is it?
It's from a Christmas movie.
Well, what is it?
Oh, the name of the tune is How Deep is the Ocean.
Oh, that's a Christmas tune? He was Maybe. He drunk at the time?
No. I'll Google it.
That's a Christmas tune.
They're all Christmas tunes when you're playing right. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So it goes something like this.
Sounds good.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Hi. Put it right out there, but I can't put it up on my tree because it is not. Okay. Let's see. I got things here. And weren't they? Wasn't the band great? Beautiful Christmas tune. Deep of the Ocean, or whatever it was called. Yes. Why is that a Christmas tune?
Because it was released in a Christmas movie.
Oh. No, it wasn't.
Oh, yeah. Well,
what did you find out? Okay, well, she's got her own show going on here. Really not the way I wanted it. Google's the worst thing to hit conversation in the world. Because now you have these long, pointless arguments that no one can really remember the name or the date. And when they get it on their thing, and it ruins the whole conversation. It's better like, okay, well, it's not that important anyhow. But now we know everything that's not that important anyhow. Do you disagree?
I agree.
Okay. Do you Google things when you're in conversation and stuff?
My wife does.
What's the last thing she Googled on you?
Something about a movie.
Movie?
Yeah.
If you wanted to go see it or something, so she Googled it?
I wanted to know who the main actor was or something in it. Yeah.
Who was it? See, that's why she has to do it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
See, now you still don't remember who that actor was.
No, I don't.
He's the guy who was in the thing with that.
Yeah, with the work from McCullough.
And he was with the woman in there was the same one who had been in the previous film that was very similar. That's the way a conversation should go, don't you agree?
Yes.
Especially as you age, those are all your conversations. I like that. Now old guys are sitting around Googling everything the other guy says, and says, well, it was not. Harrison. Benjamin Harrison. So that's stupid. Why would you be talking about that even? I don't know. Let's talk about something. And you are?
My name is Steve.
Steve, are you from around here, Steve?
Yeah.
Think about that. Do you want to Google it? Find out where you're from? I think you'll have to, if you just Google Steve, you're going to get a lot of results. So what's your last name?
Meyer.
Steve Meyer. Even that, you're going to get a lot of results, you know.
Stephen A. Meyer.
Oh, you're an A. Meyer?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And what are you into these days?
I'm on vacation.
I'm sorry. I'll leave you alone. Poor Stephen A. Meyer. I apologize. Here, I got something for you. Here, take this Jewish star and hang it from your tree. I don't want a re-gift or anything. Do you have a tree?
Yes.
Yeah. Put that right on top. Yeah. Hate to re-gift right off the bat, but I'm sorry. Where was I going? I wasn't done yet. Okay. Let's see what we got here. No, that's not it. I took the wrong pile. These are the wrong ones, Tyler. I wasn't going to use these. This is the bad pile. Here's the good pile. Don't worry, you weren't in it. I make salads for reptiles. See, that's the good pile. Madeline DiNatale. Are you here still? Because we haven't served the food yet. I don't believe you left. Okay. All right, let's see what's going on with her now. My dad has informed me he's planning on buying a fedora. Is this a crisis for you? Yeah. Boy, can I get down there? I don't know. I'm going to try it. Get down there. Excuse, pardon me. What are you Googling now?
Nothing.
Did you bring any pierogies? No, right?
But there's no food this time.
I know, but I brought a dish to pass anyway. Because I'm a bandit, a bandito. I believe in the right to pass a dish, you know? Touch me all you want. Yeah. How about here? Anywhere else you want to go?
Yeah.
I'll pretend it didn't happen. Go ahead.
It's not sexual harassment.
No. If you like it, it definitely is not.
I like it.
If you need it desperately, it's not harassment at all. It's really... It's the gift of the season.
Thank you for my Hanukkah gift.
No, you're welcome. Thank you. And you are?
Susan Kirstein.
Can I just give you a touch here?
Yes.
Shoulder. A safe zone. Just a shoulder. Well, you brought this.
Yeah, my wife did.
What are these?
Well, they're caramel bars with chocolate. You can't go wrong, but we didn't know that we couldn't bring a treat, so now I know.
We can't mention it. We just can't mention it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
First of all, the terrorists will get mad at us because we paid big money to cater this, and the terrorist does a wonderful job. Thank you very much for doing this. And he's not happy, I guess. Okay, Hold for just a second. I'll take him on the way back. It's you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Madeline, could you stand up, please? Thank you. Explain. Where's your father? Is he here?
My father's right here.
He needs a hat. You know, he needs a hat. You have a problem with a fedora on your dad?
Just on my dad, and yeah.
What's the problem you have?
Just not comfortable with
What makes you uncomfortable about the thought of your father in a fedora?
I'm not quite sure. Can't identify it.
Psychological or a motif or something? Have you had a bad experience with a man in a fedora?
I might have repressed something like that.
A fedora incident?
Fedora incident.
Now, fedoras are young hipsters, which your dad is not, obviously, but I mean, they're wearing fedoras. Does that at all change your feeling about them?
I think that might be why I don't like the fedoras.
Because they're on young hipsters.
Right, they've done this.
But you're not trying to say anything with your fedora, right?
No.
What are you trying to do with it?
It's like a Sinatra retro kind of thing.
And do you sling like your jacket, your suit jacket, over your shoulder while you're wearing your fedora?
I'm not sure yet. I'll have to see.
Well, then I don't see if he's not doing that, I don't see the harm in it. You do. Okay. All right. This is a tough one. There you go. Shake. Yes. Put that back in your hair now. Okay. That's Madeline Di Natale, right? Something like that? Pretty close? Okay. I got it. What? Oh, I got to take these. I'll run this contraband back to my desk there. Okay. One last touch here? Okay. You pick all the safe spots. My wrist is not one of my zones. I don't think I have any zones anymore. I forget. I have a no-passing zone. I know that. I've got a hospital zone, but that's about it as far as the zones are. Okay, I'm just going to put this back up here because we can't bring a dish to pass anymore because of the change to the Constitution and Amendment. You can conceal and carry a gun, but you can't bring a dish to pass. Where is the logic? We're going to play a round of the What Do You Know Quiz, a chance to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous. And before we can do that, we have to know who can and cannot participate in the quiz. This gentleman here wants it. He's done it before. He'll do it again if we let him. Oh, you okay? No and fine. You are?
Scott Wardell.
Scott, where are you from?
Madison.
From Madison? Okay.
Yes.
Are you still working, Scott?
I work part-time. I'm a school crossing guard for Madison.
Thank you for all you do. I love school crossing guards. They're very nice. Okay.
All right, the four disclaimers. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, kids now vape behind the barn. E-cigarette thing, I guess. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member station, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Hard to believe it's as good as the last time. As good as the last time again. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them. Well, your hand was up first. I don't know if I should count that. Maybe you need it too badly.
I need it. I really need it.
What do you need about it?
I've been to your show in four different states trying to play the quiz, and I haven't gotten here yet, so I need it.
Do you want to keep that out there? Something on your bucket list? And you are?
I'm Dale Hutchins from Huntsville, Alabama.
Daryl?
Dale.
Oh, Dale. Sorry. From Huntsville. We've been to Huntsville.
Alabama. Yeah.
Town, Huntsville. Dale, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Give you my good reason.
I think you did. You definitely did. And they don't get much better than that, Dale. How many states are there?
Four states.
Can you name them all?
Yes, I can. Okay. Mississippi, Tennessee, Alabama, and Wisconsin now twice.
Yeah. So mostly on our southern tour, you've caught us.
Well, I live in Huntsville, Alabama, so.
What are you going to do?
You've only come to Huntsville once.
Yeah, because they didn't ask us back after we came.
I'm asking you right now.
Yeah,
please,
I don't know what I did. I brought up the Werner von Braun, you know, connection a little too much.
I don't know, but you had one of your best contestants ever.
Yeah.
Fred, and I'm a friend of Fred.
Was Fred the dancer?
No, Fred was the logistician.
Oh, Fred. I do remember Fred, but I thought it might have been for dancing.
Oh, yes, he was. I'm sorry. You're right.
Didn't he do that dancing thing where they do that weird kind of dancing?
I forgot the word that goes in front of it.
Huh?
Contra dancing.
Contra dancing.
That's it.
And I'm against dancing, so I thought that was great. And Dale, what do you do these days?
I'm a chemist.
Oh, you're a chemist?
Yeah.
Down there at the university?
No. At 3M company.
Oh, really?
Plastics and that sort of thing.
Have you made some famous plastics that we might know about?
I'm not famous.
You're not in adhesives, you're in the plastic end of it.
Now I'm into plastics and
Were you in adhesives? And you?
I have done some sticky stuff in the past.
Yeah. If you invent like a brand new adhesive, you're working for them, you don't get to keep it, do you? I mean, you don't.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody has to want to buy it too.
So yeah, that's good.
I've never invented anything somebody wanted to buy.
Yeah. Oh, me neither. Certainly not a radio show or anything like that. Okay. Cool. And that's a good job to have, I bet. 3M treat you well down there. Are they a lot of fun?
In Huntsville? Close.
Yeah.
Decatur.
In Decatur. Okay. Cool. And then okay. So our thing's going pretty good. Were you up here visiting friends or?
Came up here to the. Holiday Christmas party. Christmas holiday office party.
That's why you came?
We came for your show.
Oh, God, I feel like we owe you everything. You shouldn't even have to play a quiz to get stuff. That's very sweet of you. Thank you for doing that.
It's a wonderful drive.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming. And, okay, we got various things to get through here to get you all your prizes. I know you're going to win anyhow, but how does that work, Sarah?
He needs a partner who's playing from home, and they're going to pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669 and correctly answer a qualifying question of your choice.
Okay, here's the question. The question is, what does Festivus begin with? The opening ceremony for Festivus, if you're a Seinfeld fan, you probably know this, but otherwise you probably don't. Let's go to the phones right now. John in Vinton. Hey. Are you there, John? Are you okay?
Oh, I'm great.
You're
living the dream.
Living the dream. That's great. Do you know Festivus,
yeah.
John?
I know what?
Festivus, the holiday called Festivus.
From Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay. What does Festivus begin with? Their opening ceremony for Festivus, it begins with the airing of what? Please.
Oh, man. I can't mess this up. I've been waiting for this my whole life.
Yeah, yeah. She said
grievances.
Festivus. I can't do it. Don't ever shout out grievances during my show. Okay, the airing of what?
God, I remember the poll. I remember the poll.
Yeah. What did you shout out?
Screaming.
Don't.
Yeah, what they said, that thing.
Grievances?
Yeah.
You mean the airing of grievances is the initial for the opening ceremony?
Yeah, that.
That's right. Okay. Airing of grievances. Why not?
Okay.
It's important to him, too. So we got two guys that's important, too. You're in Vinton, Arkansas. Is that right?
I am.
Yes. And Dale is here from Huntsville, Alabama.
Hi, Dale.
Hi, John.
I choked that little thing I took for the table over there. It was the olive. Dale, John, you're a team. Okay, you guys cool? Said enough to each other?
We swapped first names, yes.
Okay.
And hello.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
We're best friends.
Okay.
That's
true. All right. So that's how it works. We have various categories, don't we, Sarah?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends. You got that nog over there, Michael? You all good?
No. Okay, John, you pick first one. What would you like? What category?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Let's see what it is. Okay. Can mistletoe be fatal?
Now you've got to actually do this.
Hmm?
Now I've got to actually do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you think? Well, a dream?
I forgot that part.
Mistletoe, well, can it be fatal?
What, like, if you eat it?
Yeah, I guess.
I would...
Or if you kiss under the wrong person under it, I suppose. Definitely could be fatal.
I've heard it'll make you sick, so yeah. Why not?
He said yes.
I'll go with Dale. Dale knows what it's
Dale's
about.
Right, yes. He's a chemist. You should know this. All parts, especially the berry. So why did they choose it for that? Okay.
That's one right and zero wrong in the categories left are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or science.
What would you like, Dale?
Science.
Science it is. Nice. See, your sweater is actually nice.
You like that?
It's a nice sweater.
My wife gave it to me. Thank you.
Very nice. Not one of them ugly ones you hear so much about. No, my daughter gave me this. This is nice. What'd you say?
Science.
Science, okay.
Prove what I don't know about science.
All right. Can hugs prevent infection?
Why don't you ask me something with molecules in it or something?
Can hugs prevent the molecules of infection?
I asked for it.
You know, on a molecular level.
Surely not.
Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
What? John thinks so. Like John, you there?
Yeah. Can it prevent?
Yeah.
Seems counterintuitive, which means I think
you're wrong.
Leading
it's counterintuitive.
Me
here. Means you don't agree with your wife if it's counterintuitive.
Oh yeah, hugs from my wife would prevent infections. So
yes,
that's got to be it.
Okay, he says yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the stress-related infections can be prevented by hugging. Apparently, Carnegie Mellon. They studied that, so ask them. Yes.
I like hugs.
So far away, I'd be there in a flash.
That's more like a grope.
I didn't have this show. Yeah. There's a thin line between hugging and a grope, right. I got to admit.
So that's two right and zero wrong. And the categories left are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school.
Okay. Back to John. What would you like?
Oh, man. People, places?
No, sorry. Those are separate ones. Yeah. People. Or
people's
places.
Kind of share
okay,
ourselves.
Okay,
places.
I gotcha. Let me go people.
People, okay. What percentage of office party gifts are re-gifted? You know, the Secret Santa and all that kind of thing. Is it 40%, 60%, or 90%? Re-gifting of office party gifts.
John, around my house, it's a really big number.
40?
You're leaning towards 40?
Yeah.
Okay, he's leaning towards 40. You're funny, you don't look like you're leaning towards 40.
Yeah, I passed 40.
You're past 40?
Yeah.
He's leaning the other way past 40.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I'll agree with 40.
40 is exactly right. Holy cow! Won the holiday quiz.
Dale, you can take a sonic detour from the usual holiday fair with the CD Holidays, including tunes like The Man Who Writes the Cards and Santa Said No Samba from Jerry Becker, featuring the North Pole City Band and Glee Club on Orchard Label, and then get serious about the hidden beauty and logic of the world, reading Jordan Ellenberg's How Not to Be Wrong, The Power of Mathematical Thinking from Penguin Press. Move from math to science in Larry Sheckle's Ask a Science Teacher, 250 answers to questions you've always had about how everyday stuff really works from The Experiment. And return to uncertainty with Curtis White's The Science Delusion, asking the big questions in a culture of easy answers from Melville House. John, start every day in the What Do You Know audience holiday mood, drinking Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee, and keep the holiday vibe going with a full taste of Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee, which is coffee done right.
Can we give Dale some of that, too?
Yeah, great.
Give him a bottle of wine. He drove a long way.
Okay. Then carry around crowd reactions to holiday jokes in the palm of your hand with instant audience, electronically producing applause, crickets, or booing from Archie McPhee. Plus, you get What Do You Know, the party game, including audience, contestants, cards, and the Speedway Ready Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing. Congratulations.
Dale gets all that, too, right?
Sure.
Thanks, man. Thanks for coming, Dale. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Keep coming. Don't stop now because you did this. John, hang on. Make sure you get that. Thanks for playing the quiz.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international, and this is PRI, Public Radio International. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI. That's Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's the annual holiday office party with polka from Steve Meisner and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who gets his holiday spirit straight from the bottle, it's Michael Feldman.
It's medicinal. Required in the state of Wisconsin Constitution. And it's medicinal. I don't know, Nog. I only drink once a year. It's during these shows. And all the Christmas and holiday news that is, not from around here so much, but this is the news that actually is news, not supposed to the stuff I usually say. This might be interesting. Yiwu is the Chinese city where everything that you buy for Christmas is made. It's a city, Yiwu, I believe, in China. And everything, honestly, look it up. Google this. Everything. All the decorations, all the toys, all the sweaters. Comes from Yiwu. So anyway, if that comes up at a party, then just say that. Okay. The Packers are donating turkeys again for Christmas. And it says the Packers have donated 1,500 turkeys to Paul's Pantry for families in need. So they do that every year. So I think that's a great thing. And, you know, after the Bills game, it's 1,553 turkeys. They can have. Super Saturday, well, that's a new thing. You know about that. Does your workplace have a holiday party? This was a question. I think it was in the Chicago Tribune or one of them papers. And the answer, does your workplace have a holiday party? The answer is that 26% said yes. 10% said no, but we have a holiday meal catered at work. 15% says we do a potluck at work, so they're advanced. 15% said we get together on our own after work, and 32% said if there is one, I haven't been invited. There's some controversy over the North Pole. I don't know if you know, Denmark now, because of the holiday season, it's kind of important who owns the North Pole. Denmark now said that it owns the North Pole. Russia has claimed it in Canada. So that could be kind of an interesting war if that ever breaks out. Between the three of them, but I don't think it will. But Denmark says it actually has the rights to the North Pole. On the other hand, I think they should have it because they asked worldwide who was looking forward to Christmas among all the nations of the world. Lowest was France. Only 37% of the French are looking forward to Christmas. The highest was Denmark. 76% of the people in Denmark give them the North Pole. I say. There you go. And take everything away from the French. In Lansing, Michigan, Satanists are planning to erect a snake-tivity display at the Capitol, but they have invigorated the Christmas spirit in Lansing, and now the State House may feature more than one Christian nativity scene for the holidays. They're actually, for some reason in Lansing, you can have a nativity scene at the state capitol, but it has to be moved. I don't know why. They move it every day or something, so it has to be on wheels. It's not that hard, but it's kind of a silly thing, so... So no one did it this year because no one wanted the expense and the bother of moving the nativity scene every day. So, but the Satanists can't have their snake-tivity. I'm sure that must look great. Not sure what that would be, snake-tivity. But now that has inspired all... So now they have, like, creches. They're up to their elbows in creches all around the state capitol and nativity scenes in general. So I guess that's good news. And let's see. There's one. Oh, no, that's it. That's all the news that is holiday news from around here. We also have some holiday-related memos, of course, because each week at this time, I actually read letters or memos from various sources. Let's see, two nogs. I have 1.5 nogs, but they're small. Okay. I count the straws. What I do when I drink, I always save the little stirrers. And if you got 6 in there, you should probably go home. Stick in your pocket. if you can find your keys.
The good thing is you don't get those when you have beer.
You have the labels. I always peel the label off my beer and save that. Okay. We got this one here. There's actually two. This one is good, but it's official. It's from the Committee on House Administration. I'm not quite sure which state this is. But it's a reminder on incidental use of holiday greetings in official communications now permissible. Dear colleague, the Commission on Congressional Mailing Standards, the Franking Commission, is reminding members that they may include incidental holiday greetings such as Merry Christmas in their official constituent communications. Okay. Prior to the Commission's adoption of this common sense policy, franking regulations prohibited any form of a holiday greeting whatsoever. Couldn't we say happy anything, probably? Maybe you could say Christmas.
Hey.
Hanukkah. Whatever. However, the new policy, which still prohibits members from sending communications for the sole purpose of expressing a holiday greeting, allows members to include simple holiday salutations, including Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, etc. Should you have questions regarding the new policy, please contact the Republican Commission staff. And the Democratic Commission staff. So either way, you fall there. So that's one memo. This one, I think, is my favorite here. Season's greetings. It's from your letter, your newspaper deliverer. You know, they always put a card in, like, last week there for Christmas. And, like, you want to send them a card or something. I don't know why I do it. I always re-gift the card, though, and send it to someone. Season's greetings. My name is, blanked out, and I have recently taken on the responsibility of delivering Gannett publications to you and your surrounding neighborhood. I started as a news carrier in the last week of September after a few days of training, and have been your full-time carrier ever since. You may have seen me lurking about at night dressed all in black. Yes, from all that newspaper ink. And driving an all-black Prius, used to be white, you guessed it, darned ink. This guy is scary if he's delivering your papers. I also can be seen in daylight hours distributing the hubs and snapshots to your non-subscribing neighbors. I know some of you have felt the weight of the proverbial learning curve as I muddled my way through the process of familiarization to now, and for that I am truly sorry. Although I'm still learning new things each week, I'm happy to say that I have become much more familiar with the routes and the whole delivery process. I hope this is reflected in my service to you today. I hope in time you all will come to know that I'm a very conscientious person and I will be diligent in delivering your due publications intact and on time. Of course, as hard as I try, I will never be impervious to the occasional mishap or common error, even just a plain old stupid mistake. Whenever this may occur, please know this. My intentions are always toward your best interest. My willful efforts are rarely compromised, and my goal is 110%. Recently, I was out of town to visit my family up north. From 11:26 to 11:30, and I understand, isn't that deer season? All his friends are deers up north, thank you. His deer friends up north. I understand there were discrepancies in some of your deliveries. I duly apologize for that as well. I know my stand-ins work very hard, and I tried their best to accommodate all deliveries and whatever special requests they could, but I also know it was all they could do just to make the deadlines on those days, especially Thanksgiving, Thursday, the biggest delivery day of the year. I'm told it was a lot to take on, and I was very grateful for the help. I wish to thank you all for being so kind and patient during my time of learning and more recently for understanding when things didn't go as expected during my absence. I also wish to thank those of you who take the time to recycle delivery supplies. That is just awesome. And I especially want to thank those who have shown support or expressed gratitude either by kind words or gifts or tips or treats. Your support in any form is so encouraging, and all of it has been such a blessing. I am truly humbled by such kindness. I have included my contact information. In the event you should ever need to reach me, along with some suggestions, requests that would be most helpful to me. Thank you for your time and attention today. I know your time is valuable. May God bless every home this reaches and each and every one of you sincerely. Your newspaper guy. Look at this. That's full page, single spaced. Very nice. So, okay, just send that card back to him then. Let's see. Merry Christmas. Okay, we're about ready here, I think, to start the holiday fair here. Now, as you can see, there are two dishes to pass that are in front there. You can go up and add those to you, and then to what are you getting there? Those are the bars. What kind of bars are they?
Chocolate caramel.
Chocolate caramel bars. They look delicious. I made the obligatory, you know, green bean thing with the mushroom soup and the onion things on top. And I might have burned it a little bit, but I plucked out all the burnt ones on top because I left it in too long. But you're welcome to come up and dig into that as well. We get this, of course, it would not be Christmas. It would not be Christmas without Steve Meisner and the boys. They are here with us today for polka music because we will be polking and eating a wonderful gourmet meal here provided by the Monona Terrace. And there, speak of him himself, here he is, Steve Meisner. Steve Meisner, ladies and gentlemen, to set the tone for this Thanksgiving, this Christmas and Kwanzaa celebration that we're having here today. And how are you? Pretty good. Things are going good. I read that you're doing all kinds of things. And, for example, the free shipping sale continues through Christmas.
Yes. I'm actually honored that you visited
website. There's free shipping on everything. What does that include?
It includes whatever you buy.
There's quite a selection there, isn't it? Just in time for Christmas. And
yes, there's over 22 different CDs for sale, DVDs, T-shirts.
Things to wear, sweaters?
No sweaters.
No?
Because
hats?
We like to have
fedoras.
People dancing.
Yeah, fedoras.
And sweaters don't, they're too hot for dancing.
Okay.
No fedoras.
Will that get to people if they order a sweater or fedora, which you don't have, I know, but should they, will it get to them by Christmas?
Well, I don't know if it'll get there by Christmas now, but
well, then
you
why
can
don't
still
you
order it,
it
and you can still get free shipping.
Who does the mailing? Do you have to do this yourself, or you got a staff that does all this?
Yeah, I have a staff of me, myself, and I.
Yeah, okay. What's the latest CD, Steve?
The latest CD will be out in February.
That's what it's called?
It's called Thank You, Music Lovers. And it'll be out in February.
Well,
right,
is this number here off of it?
Well, I thought we were going to do a holiday party song first, but...
Oh, yeah, do whatever you want. You're Steve Meisner, and I'm not.
Something off of the new recording first.
Sounds great. And we will be serving right now. If you'd like to come and make a nice plate for yourself, this is the time to do it while we're listening. And dancing is allowed. If you'd rather dance before eating or eat before dancing, your choice. Steve Meisner and the boys, ladies and gentlemen.
If I could only put my arms around you, life would be so fair. Tossing and turning in my slumber.
Get a nice plate.
Holding you, it seems.
Oh, yeah.
I give you kisses without number, but only in my dreams.
In my dreams.
I get so lonely when I dream about you. About you. If I could only put my arms around you, life would be so fair. Hey, hey.
That's
I gave you kisses without number, but only in my dreams. I get so lonely when I dream about you. Can't live without you. That's why I dream about you. If I could only put my arms around you, life would be so fair.
We'd like to see more dancing here on the floor. Or you'll see me on the floor if I try again. Are you a good dancer, Steve?
Yes, my mother did teach me how to dance.
She did?
Yes.
What did she teach you, like all the dancing, just the waltzing?
Ballroom dancing. She taught me how to polka dance and waltz and foxtrot.
I know I ask you this every year, but what's the difference between a schottische and a polka?
The schottische is a group line dance.
It is.
You circle around, circle schottische.
Oh. Are the steps much the same?
Everybody dances the same. They all have the same steps.
It's the same as a polka step?
No, it's not the same.
Well, can you show me?
No, I can't show you.
What happens in a
My
schottische?
My mother didn't
teach
me how to schottische.
Yeah. And is it Scottish, the schottische? I assumed it was.
Schottische is Swiss.
Oh, Swiss, okay. Swiss. And the polka is mostly German and Mexican.
The polka is Czech, originated Czech, Bavarian,
okay.
Bohemia.
Sounds great. Now, are you people getting ready to dance? You're waiting for the dance? Okay. Are you official polka dancers? Have you done it often and you're good? Shy and Schottische as well. Okay. Let's see what they can do. What's this next tune?
Well, I thought we'd do a little tune that was written by my father, Vern Meissner, that... This last Thanksgiving was awarded the all-time greatest hit.
Is that right?
In the Cleveland Polka Hall of Fame over this last Thanksgiving weekend. And a little tune he wrote when he lived in Menominee Falls on El Rio Drive, and the song is called El Rio Drive.
El Rio Drive, right.
Yeah.
Great song. Now let's dance. You can always get food. There's plenty of food. Not to run out. If you're at home, please dance.
La 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 la
everybody sing.
La 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 la
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI,
and
Public
boys.
Radio ah. International. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, we're back for the Christmas, holiday office party, and my daughter Ellie has joined us here. Ellie, who I changed a diaper of. On a show early, a few years ago it was, I guess. Do you remember that incident, actually, where I had to change your diaper on air? Yes. Is that? No, that's not on. We got a little microphone here. Anybody there in the booth?
Yeah, I see Aubrey there. He's not doing much, though.
Okay, hey, I'll try it again. See what happens.
Hello?
Yes, there you are.
No, but I remember you talking about it every year since.
Yep. You used to come to the show because you thought I was somebody at that time. Remember? I don't know who you thought I was, but...
Yeah, I thought you were a diaper changer.
No, you were. And then I would tuck you under my arm and go into the audience with a microphone to talk to people, but you were right here because you didn't want to stay back there alone.
Yeah.
Especially after the diaper incident.
The what incident?
The diaper incident.
Oh.
Yes, so you're a show business kid.
Yes.
Are you in show business now?
No, I'm a realtor now.
See, you never know how they're going to turn out. I've got two daughters, Ellie here. Is the oldest. See, when you have two kids, one's always the oldest, one's always the youngest. So there's nothing in between. It's kind of, that's tough on both of them, I think. But, Nora is a Latina now, and you're a real estate agent, so you never know how they're going to turn out, is what I'm saying. Right?
Yep, never know.
Did you ever think you were going to be a real estate agent?
No, I never thought I'd be a real estate agent.
What did you think you'd be?
I don't know.
And you sold your first house, so that's pretty good.
Yep, sold my first house. Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Uh-huh. Did the owners know it was being sold? Or did you just...
They didn't know it was my first house that I sold.
Yeah.
And they didn't know I was living with my parents, so that didn't have my own house either.
Yes, probably the only real estate agent that still lives with their parents at home. That's good, though. You can appreciate that fact that you're still,
Yes.
That you're thinking about all these things and having a house of your own someday. But I would like you not to leave. That's the only problem because, frankly, we need you because you run our lives now entirely. So that's a very important thing. And did you bring your cards you pass out to people?
No, I forgot to bring my cards because I brought a little purse and not my regular purse. I realized right when I got here.
Okay. So anybody needs a house, Ellie Feldman, look for her at Remax.
Remax Preferred.
Yeah, Remax Preferred.
In Middleton.
Okay. Thank you, Ellie Feldman.
Thanks.
Go get something to eat now.
Okay. Right?
My daughter. She could almost change my diaper at this point. We're getting very close to the point where my daughter will change my diaper. Can't hear anything? Okay. Are we on the air? Yes, okay. We're on the air. Don't worry about it. You didn't hear a thing? You didn't miss anything. Talk about having my diaper changed. Can you hear that now? No? Okay. All right. Well, it's nice to have you here anyhow. Are you enjoying your food? Have you been dancing yet? You look like a couple that dances. Are you a couple that dances? You're not. Wait a second. I got to talk to the crowd here. It's very important that I do. And Dale, are you eating? Are you eating?
I have seen, yes, some of the things up front.
Don't you want to? Oh, you don't want to wait in line.
It's a long line.
This is in Wisconsin. There's a long line for everything that's free. Yes. What?
Just take it. It's cookies. From 1996, I was here. And I
these cookies are from 1996? They must be really hardtack by now.
I hope they're... You'll enjoy it.
They're for me personally, or should I put them out?
Either way.
I'm taking them. Because it's illegal to put out things for people to take. Oh, they look delicious. What are these exactly?
Hetzels. Italian cookies. Yeah. Oh, they're from... they're made one or two at a time. And my Italian friend, Mrs. Scalise, gave me the recipe 50 years ago, and I've been making them since.
And what's your name?
Barbara Harris.
Thank you so much, Barbara.
She was here. Yes. She was here. When was it, Barb? 96, and she was when she put the microphone in front of her, she was so silent, and it's the first time in 47 years that I...
The last time, probably.
And then maybe the last. No, I can't. It won't be the last time. I promise you, and I'll hear it all the way back on our ride to Riverwoods, Illinois, after the show.
And you are?
Richard Harris.
Nice to meet you. Thank you both. Thank you very much for these. Does anyone want to try one? They're called what?
Hetzels.
Hetzels. Like Patel?
Hetzels.
Hetzels. What does that mean to us?
Who knows?
It means who knows. Anyone like a who knows? No? Okay. They look very good. I'm going to hide these, though, because I'm going to take them. Would you like a Hetzel, Dale? She came all this way. Yeah, it is.
See what they look like. If they're in
take them out here. Let's open them up. Oh, they're beautiful. I'm going to take most of them. But I'm happy to share my Hetzel.
It's biscotti, an Italian cookie. So I was interested in seeing what that was. I'll just take a piece.
Okay. Did you try some of the casserole? I made the green bean casserole. My act of anti-government act was to take and make green casserole. I'm sorry?
A little green bean casserole on those would be good.
Would you like?
I'd love some.
You care for a Hetzel?
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Delicious.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have you had these before?
Yes, I have.
You been to Italy and had them there? Or?
No, I've had them in Chicago. There are a lot of Italians.
Very good. I might have to. Yeah, did you want one?
Of course.
Did you?
Yeah. I want some cookies. Thank you.
Do you want to try one of those, too? Here, get in there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. This is the best thing I've done all year, I think. Hand out these Hetzels. Yeah, okay. I'm going to try one here. I'm not too much going on right now. And this is our holiday show. I'm just tuning in. And it's, yes. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you.
My grandchildren would love to have one of Bob's Hetzels.
Yeah, sure. Get right in there.
What's your name?
Asher.
Nice to meet you.
Asher.
Oh.
Go, dear. Do you have one? Yes. Do you have one?
Thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing them. Okay.
They're not pierogies. Is that all right?
It's fine. I got them some brandy like you wanted. Straight.
Good. I straightened it up. I'm going to hide these, the rest of them. Those are for me, after all. Come on. All right. We are going to continue on in the festive vein, which means I guess we should do another quiz, don't you think?
Sure. Sounds good.
Why not? So... We're going to need somebody who's eaten already. Which one of you guys wants to do it? You both want to do it? Him more than you? You sure? Come on down here, then. If you've eaten and you've danced already, then now is your chance to do a little what-do-you-know quiz action. And we have a gentleman here who's already eaten and he's already danced. Well, he's bringing his food with him. No. That's a little improper, but that's okay. Is that for me? No, I already had two. I'm going to quit, too. And you are?
I'm Andy. Hi.
Come on down here so we don't get the feedback. Excuse me from that. And Andy, are you from around here or where?
I live in Madison, yes.
Now, what are you doing these days?
I work at SPL, that's Scientific Protein Laboratories in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. What do you do down there?
I am a process operator. I make Drugs.
You mean drugs?
Yep.
Okay. And then, Andy, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
It's the Christmas season.
Okay, but give me one good reason you should play this.
Because I'm good at quizzes.
Oh, are you? Are you a trivia guy?
Yep.
This won't help you here, but come on, anyhow, Andy, let's give it a try. But this is not trivia. This is just small knowledge. Have a seat there if you would, Andy. Make yourself to home. It's like a pizzelle.
Oh, no, thank you.
Okay. Oh, I just sat on them. That changed the texture a bit. All right. So we're moving here right along. And have you been to a lot of parties this Christmas so far?
Just one so far.
Just one?
Yeah.
This one or a different one?
No, it was my holiday party for my company.
How'd that go?
It was interesting.
Interesting, which means what happened?
Well, it was a lot of sitting around and waiting for the food to come, and then they had like a trivia contest that nobody knew the answers to, so it was fun, I guess.
Yeah. So it wasn't fun at all, it sounds like. No. Okay. Was it better last year?
No.
Did
it
anybody...
was different last year.
It was?
It was luau themed this year, so we had to wear like Hawaiian shirts and stuff like
that's
that.
That's embarrassing. And then what else did they have that was luau?
They had like barbecued pulled pork and hula chicken and some crazy sesame salad.
Yeah.
It was good, though.
No dancers or anything like that? No.
There was a dance afterwards.
But no dancers? Like.
Oh, no dancers, no.
Okay. No. All right. Anyone embarrass themselves?
No, I don't think so. I didn't stay for the entire thing, so.
All right, Andy, someone out there plays along with you is how this works, and right?
That's right.
Yeah, how are you? Are you getting all, everything you need there?
I have a cookie. I stole one of your cookies.
Okay.
Delicious.
You're such a good dancer, though. I'm sorry to get out there and embarrass you, you know, because I was just trying to
This is my favorite show of the year. Anytime we can dance, I'm into it. I like
but
it.
But the singing, not so much, huh?
No, the singing, not for everybody's sake, the singing, not so much.
This is the first year we haven't had the karaoke, but, you know, you can have too much of a good thing. So maybe we'll bring it back. We'll see what the public response is. Or Andy, someone out there plays along with you, and I've got, how do I do that then?
So somebody at home who wants to play the quiz, they pretty much know this routine, but they're going to pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, which is also 1-800-HWA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW, and you will ask them a qualifying question.
All right. All right, the Hanukkah menorah has 8 candles. How many candles are in the Kwanzaa Kanara, which is their version of the menorah? Kanava. So that's the question there. How many candles for your Kwanzaa menorah? So if you know, give us a call here, then you can qualify to play a quiz here with Andy. Who? Where'd you go to school, Andy? You're from Wisconsin?
UW.
UW?
Mm-hmm.
Madison here?
Yep.
Yeah? Was that a good experience?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
That's why I stayed.
Yeah. How come you're still not in school then? There's always a way of getting
in. Well, you got to pay for it.
That's true. That's a good point. Did you major in chemistry?
No, in zoology.
Zoology.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a big switch from animals to chemicals?
Not really. There's
same
a lot
process?
Of chemistry in zoology, yeah.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know you could do that. All right, so Matt is on the line here from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hey, Matt.
Hi.
Are you having a little Christmas party there at Myrtle Beach?
No, not yet. Tonight. Have a party tonight.
Yeah, where are you going?
We're going out to eat with some friends of ours to a nice Italian restaurant.
That's not a party, Matt.
Okay, well, we had a party. We've had several parties.
Okay, well, let me hear about some of those then. What was the best one?
We had a great dinner party last Saturday night.
Yeah.
With all kinds of wonderful food, presents, music. What else could there be? Great food, great friends.
But that's
great
that's a dinner party. It's not. We're talking holiday parties.
Oh, like a business party?
Yeah, like the luau-themed, office party that you got to go to and wear a bad shirt to.
No, we don't have that one scheduled.
Oh, you don't have one of those. Okay. Well, consider this.
No, we do not.
Consider this your party thing. We got one going on right here, and the food is good.
I wish I could be there. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, that'd be great. Matt, how many candles in the Kwanzaa menorah, the Kanava?
Let's try 9.
No.
12.
No.
5.
No.
20.
No.
8. 7.
I'll tell you. Matt, I think that's too many guesses, I think.
Well, we tried.
Nice talking to you anyway.
Nice talking to you.
Okay, bye. That's Norman's on the line from Cleveland. Hey, Norman.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I am doing well.
Yeah.
And happy Hanukkah and happy holidays.
Thank you. Same to you. You got any parties lined up today or recently?
I'm a musician. I am working tonight.
Oh.
I did Rock by Soul yesterday at the Terrace Israel. Did a Hanukkah party at a Golden Age Center.
Oh, that was good.
On Thursday. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Did anyone request the dreidel song?
We did a few.
Yeah.
And including, well, like yesterday, they had to say, people from the congregation had to say, what did you make the dreidel out of? And
yeah.
So somebody said he made it out of soap. And so I had a little dreidel, made it out of soap. I took it in the shower and hung it from a rope.
Yeah. Oh, so you made it up as you went along.
Yeah.
That
means I know a movie is wonderful at that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a crowd pleaser, I bet you.
It went over very well, trust me.
And
doing this for many years.
I'm sure. And is tonight a Jewish affair as well, or is it a Christmas party?
That was a Shabbat service.
Oh, I see. Must be Reformed. Yeah.
The Temple to Tiferet Israel.
Yeah.
It's great. I've been doing this for a number of years.
Yeah.
And I'm very lucky that I get to do it.
You know, I'm. You're. What do you play?
I play saxophone, flute, clarinet, and I just finished teaching, and so now I'm going to my gig tonight at the Eagles in Mentor, Ohio.
Uh huh. And what are you going to do there?
Play rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Uh huh.
Ah, cool. You do it all. You're great, Norman. I like you. Hanukkah has 8 candles. How many for Kwanzaa?
12.
No, we tried that one already. It's. I'll give you a hint. It's not more than.
Okay, 5.
No, it's not that less than either. I'm sorry, Norman. I got to be fair here, but you didn't nail it on that one.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays. Good luck to you tonight, too. All right, let's see. Joe's in Ohio there. Hey, Joe.
How you doing?
Hey, where are you in Ohio, Joe?
I'm in Elyria.
Oh, in Elyria, Ohio. Okay.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fine. You got plans tonight or what?
I'm just working till 7 o'clock and probably going to go home and wrap some Christmas presents.
Yeah. Are you working right now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I won't tell anybody. Where are you? Can I say where you're working at, or do you want to? No.
Oh, yeah, I'm a mail carrier.
Oh, you are. So you're just stopping on your route here, and the heck with it.
Yeah, I'm taking a break.
Are you on foot or on truck?
Oh, I'm driving.
You're driving? Yeah. Okay. Got a little extra time here.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking a break.
Yeah. You know where you can sandbag where you can't, right?
Yep. You got it.
And all right, so Joe, about how are your holidays going? Pretty good.
Yeah, got a little hectic this time of year with the post office.
Yeah. Do you have the big Christmas party at home or what?
No, we go over to my in-laws' house.
Your in-laws, okay. And how does that work
out for you? It's too hard to clean my house.
Yes, I know. If you never do it, it mounts up.
You got it.
All right, Joe. Hanukkah has 8 candles. How many does Kwanzaa have? It's not 12. It's not 5.
I will say 10.
It's not 10.
11?
It's not more than 8.
7?
7 is right, Joe. You hit it right on the head. First time. 7 in the Kanava. That's their menorah for Kwanzaa. Okay. So, Joe, this is Andy.
Hey, Joe.
Hi, Andy.
And Andy is a chemist and a zoology major from the UW.
Good. Somebody answer all the questions right.
Yeah, he's got a lot of disciplines here going. And the two of you work together. You are a team. And what categories do we have?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. I'll let you pick the first one, Joe. What would you like?
Current events.
Current events. Okay. Don't you wonder what those guys are doing sitting in their trucks when you're waiting for your mail?
Yeah, they're up there.
Now we know what it is all these years. It's the What Do You Know quiz. We have a lot of letter carrier listeners over the years. All right, this is really cool. Neutrinos have been found for the first time, actually. Were they found on ice, in the Earth's mantle, or in used deep fryer grease? Neutrinos. These are no charge particles. They can travel through anything in the universe. They never found them until now. Is it on ice, in the Earth's mantle, or in used deep fryer grease? Neutrinos.
Oh, man. What do you say, Andy?
I would say probably in the ice.
In the ice?
Because they have that... What is it, the big freeze thing that the UW does?
Project Ice Cube thing?
Yeah, Project Ice Cube, and I believe that's for the neutrino search. So yeah. let's go with that one.
Joe, what do you think?
I think that's a good answer.
Yes, on ice, neutrinos. Project Ice Cube, UW, a big partner in that.
It's an artisanal cocktail waiting to happen.
It certainly
the
is. I'll
have the neutrino on ice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're right.
That's one right and zero wrong. And the categories left are people, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Andy?
Things you should have learned in school.
In school. Okay. So now are you getting, after graduation, they start asking you for money, right?
Oh, yeah.
To support the UW.
They still do.
Have you come across anything yet? Or? You're too young yet.
You'd think so.
Yeah.
No.
You can endow a chair or something.
Yeah, maybe.
At some point. All right. Boys do not show an aversion to pink until what age? Is it 1 year, 4 years, or 27 years of age? When boys first exhibit a complete abhorrence of pink.
You know, my brother really
likes pink. What's the years again?
1 year, 4 years, or 27 years?
I'm going to say four. I was going to say four.
Yeah, four is right. 4 years old. Before then, they wear it all the time. They can't get enough of it. Girls start preferring pink at age two, so something happens there.
Well,
in preschool, someone wears something, they, wow. Yes.
That's two right and zero wrong. And the categories left are people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Joe, back to you.
How about odds and ends?
Odds and ends. How's the food, by the way? Yeah. Did you try the green bean casserole? Right off the French's can. You can't go wrong with that. Okay, what'd you say? School?
Odds and ends.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thinking about my casserole again. Put a lot of time into it, tell you that. Which has more calories, black walnuts or tongue? Beef tongue.
Ooh.
Tough one, huh?
Well, I guess it would depend on how much you're eating, though.
Well, per serving or whatever, however they do that, you know, per unit of square.
I'm going to say black walnuts.
Yeah, I'm going to go with black walnuts.
Black walnuts is right. Oh, God, you guys are good. 628 calories in black walnuts, only 244 in tongue, that low-cal treat. Whoa. They've won.
They have, in fact, won the quiz.
Well, I don't know what to say at this point. Should they just quit, or should they try for the...
Well, that's really up to them. They could quit, and they would get some nice prizes, or they could risk it all in the hopes of winning the mother load for many more very nice prizes.
Yeah. What factors should they consider in making their decision?
How likely they think they are to win.
Okay. Anything about how worthwhile the prizes might be?
Oh, the prizes are all fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you give us a question before we decide?
Well, you can go for it. You got to get one right here, right?
Now, yep,
this
that's
is one right. Andy and Joe, and if you get it wrong, you lose everything. We take it all back. And
what's the glory?
You have to pour out that nog and everything. Joe?
What do you say, Andy?
Let's go all the way.
Let's do it.
All the way. Look at all the news.
So the categories from which you can choose are people, places, or science.
Oh, all right, then. Back to you, yes.
You know science, Andy?
Let's go with science.
Yeah, but this is what you know science, you know. So
we'll see.
There's no art and there's no science to it. The average smeller, the average nose, and the smeller who has one, can distinguish between how many different smells. Is it a trillion, a billion, or a million? And this absolutely astounding.
I want to say... probably a billion.
Truly, it's astounding. Just reading this, I was astounded.
Is it more astounding or less astounding?
I was knocked over with what I could do with my nose if I wanted to.
So you would say it's more astounding.
I've never been more astounded, I think, in considering what, something that I could actually distinguish between. Because usually I have trouble distinguishing between anything, you know, between...
Well, maybe it's a trillion.
Like blue and green. I have a problem with that. I can't distinguish between them.
I don't know, Joe. What is it? What do you say? Like, a trillion?
A human nose is a marvelous thing.
I don't think it can be much help.
You're saying a trillion?
We'll say a trillion.
Sounds good.
Joe, are you okay with that?
Yep.
A trillion is right. All of us here can distinguish between a trillion smells if we have to. And sometimes we have to. Holy.
Andy, discover the allure and magic drawn from an Olivetti Primavera or an Underwear Champion in Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know from source books. And then delve into a Wonderword Treasury book, Wonderword Crossword book, a Puzzle Society membership, and a 90-day Go Comics Pro account, all contained in the puzzle bundle from Universal UClick. Think warmer weather wearing a University of South Carolina Upstate t-shirt from USC Upstate. Send out a dozen vintage greetings from Planet Feldman postcards and keep them laughing, playing What Do You Know the Party Game, including the solstice-appropriate Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Joe, you'll drink your favorite holiday libation in Renaissance style with Das Horn. It's a drinking vessel in the shape of an animal horn, but made from BPA-free ABS plastic. I have no idea what that means. With stainless steel rim from Das Horn. Then dress up your domicile with a Madison theme print from MarshaSparks.com. Exercise your mind with 200 perplexing chess puzzles by Martin Grief from Sterling Publishing. Clean up good for the holidays with a bar of What Do You Smell soap, redolent of Wisconsin clover and soil from the Screaming Porch in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi.
Enough. How much do
there's
they get
one
for
last
this?
Thing. Yeah. And find out whether Michael is related to Genghis Khan. I know it's been on my mind. And glad you asked. Intriguing names, facts, and ideas for the curious minded by Michael Feldman from the Encyclopedia. Right.
My mother was a con. My mother was a con. That's right.
Really?
Yes.
Geraldine. Congratulations.
Geraldine Con.
To you both.
Oh, thank yes. you.
Different con. Andy, nice job. You did good. You can go back to your food here now if someone saved that plate for you. And Joe, thanks for playing. Better get back on your route now because they're waiting for those cards and gifts. Nice talking to you, Joe.
Thanks, Michael. Pretty cool.
Okay. Well, hang on just so we get an address from you. But otherwise, get back
to
work. Okay. Bye. There you have it. Happy winners on the What Do You Know quiz. I noticed that we're giving away all the stuff that we've collected over the years and our various trips. Is that at all something I should be worried about?
Lyle figures out what we're going to give away, so he may have some information I don't
what
have.
What was that? Upper where was upper?
Upper South Carolina. Upper.
Yeah. I don't even remember being there. We were in Upper South Carolina.
Not when I was on the show.
Yeah. Okay. I think we should do a little serious polka dancing now because you've all eaten, right? Yes, that's what I'm thinking. Can we get a little agreement here to get people dancing in the aisles and try to generate a little polka magic for Christmas? Because it's a very important part of the season.
What happened to karaoke?
Well, I talked about it earlier. We had to, after her experience with it.
After your experience of my karaoke.
No, well, what did you do last year for karaoke?
I rewrote it. You asked me to sing a Katy Perry song, and I rewrote the lyrics.
Oh, yeah. And did that damage you for all time?
I think it damaged all of us.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It was good. I was willing to do it. But, you know, we'll try it again next year. If there's a clamor, we'll do it. But right now, we're talking about polka dancing. We're talking about Steve Meisner and the boys. And we're talking, let's get as many people up and dancing in the aisle because it's the Christmas party. Come on. Let's call it what it is and get dancing polka. So this is a great tune to dance to, isn't it, Steve? You don't do music you can't dance to, do you? Have you ever done a thing that everyone just sits there? No.
No, it's all dance music.
It's all dance music. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really and what's this tune that people are going to want to dance to?
This tune is the Merry Christmas Polka.
You have to dance to that. The Merry Christmas Polka. Get up on your feet. Come on down here, boys and girls. If you don't have a partner, just grab somebody.
Come on and dance the Merry Christmas polka.
There, we got one couple and two couples. Let's get them up here. Let's get dancing.
Now it's the time to jolly and deck the halls with holly. So let's have
sleigh bells jingle and Santa's sleigh. Together we will greet Kris Kringle and another Christmas Day. Come on and dance the Merry Christmas polka. Let every lady step with her bow around the tree to the ceiling with lots of time for stealing some kisses beneath the mistletoe.
Saxophone.
Yeah, it's a great one.
And the jingle bells. Kris Gozak on the drums.
Kris, always great. Steve Meisner in the band. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, guys. As always. All right. Yes. Did you have something to say?
I don't have anything
Sarah?
To say. No.
Oh, I thought you said we had to wrap it up.
No. I said keep
well,
it coming.
We can do another song then.
More polka, more anything.
Okay. Well, I thought... How about a change of pace? No, of course not. I was just kidding. I wanted to see if that would get you.
Who's the boss?
You don't have any
Hanukkah.
Who's
the boss of this program? Anyway?
That's a good question. It should have been solved by now, I think.
You're a softie.
I am a softie. Any Hanukkah songs? Any Hanukkah polkas?
No.
You don't do the little dreidel thing? Or?
No.
What do you when you're playing the temples for Shabbos? What do you play?
Polkas.
Okay, you got a Jewish polka? You can play for us then.
No.
Well then, what would you like to play? How about that?
Well, if they want another polka,
take us home with a polka.
How about a little dancing on Saturday night, guys? Remember that one?
You remember that one? He can fake his way through anything. You at home should be up and dancing.
Monday and Tuesday were so much in love. Wednesday she calls me the sweet turtle dove. Thursday and Friday all we do is fight. Then she goes dancing on Saturday night. Sunday she calls me the weakest of them. Go through the week until we Roll out the barrel, everybody say. We'll have a barrel of fun. Roll out the barrel.
Click over to notmuch.com to keep the What Do You Know fun going throughout the entire holiday season. You can join our Facebook family, enjoy Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is, of course, our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Megan Hannes, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg. Happy holidays, everybody!
Merry Christmas! Happy holidays! Happy Kwanzaa!